Kildare Biodiversity Week in association with Kildare County Council Heritage Department. For the full range of biodiversity activities, visit www.kildarecoco.ie. And our Biodiversity Week documentary series, Kildare's Wild Places, Where the Wild Things Are, by Crossing the Line Films for KFM, produced and presented by Juanita Brown. And today we're talking all about Kildare's birds with Paddy Sheridan.
I'm Juanita Brown, and this is Where the Wild Things Are. In this series, I want to explore some of the best sites for wildlife around the county of Kildare and meet some of the local people working to conserve these sites and their important species. I spent a morning with Paddy Sheridan of the Kildare branch of Birdwatch Ireland visiting a number of important bird sites, including some of our boglands, which have become a refuge for many of our farmland birds now edged out of intensively farmed lands in the county. So Paddy, where are we today?
We're down at Mood's Bog, just outside Newbridge. It's probably our biggest bog that's left. And we've come here today, really, there's a couple of species down here and on other bogs that are in Kildare. They're kind of using the bog as a last refuge because of intensive farming nowadays. It's kind of moved birds out of that habitat, that there is no habitat left for them. So they come to places like this that's still largely untouched. So species like cuckoo, curlew, snipe, woodcock, white throat, skylark, meadow pipit, species like that. They're kind of largely retreating to places like this.
And what would the curlew be doing at the moment now? At the end of May.
And it's a lovely sunny morning. The curlew would be on eggs at this stage. So he'd be floating. There's only the one pair here, we think, this year. He'd be floating around there now, quiet enough, but if put a crows or something came across and try to steal the eggs or something, then he'd start mobbing them, so you'd really see him, you'd hear him.
And curlew are in trouble nationally, aren't they?
They are in serious trouble. At the moment, there's something like only 120 pairs in Ireland, breeding pairs. People get confused. In the winter time, if you go around the coast and that, even inland, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of something like up to 30,000, I think, come in the winter from Scotland and Eastern Europe. But when they all disappear in the spring, we're left with our own native breeding birds. And as I said, 120 pairs or something. And in Kildare, the first survey we really did was 2 years ago, and we only had 8 pairs we found. Last year, that was down to 6. And this year so far, unfortunately, we're gone again. We're down to 4.
So that's 8 birds, 4 pairs.
Yeah.
In the whole county,
yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah, it all is, yes. It's, but there's a number of problems. There's obviously habitat loss with turf cutting is one of them. And then because numbers are so low, predation is another one with foxes, yeah. Hooded crows. And then obviously down the line then there's another issue will be wind farms, because they don't like nesting near wind farms either. They're highly prone to disturbance that they'll abandon.
And they're site faithful?
Oh, they are site faithful, yeah. There was a survey done in England many years ago where they showed that the same pair bred within a 10-meter square for about 6 or 7 years. So they're very, very site faithful, yeah.
Yeah. So if the habitat changes, that can have a huge
exactly,
effect
yeah.
on numbers.
I think we're probably looking at the last of the curlew in Kildare, really. We might get a couple of chicks here and there for the next few years, but I think long term they're doomed
yeah.
in Kildare anyway. The last chicks that we actually saw was in July 2010, which is 7 years ago now.
And tell us about your work with Birdwatch Ireland.
Well, we're part of the Kildare branch, and we're all volunteers. We don't get a penny for it, unfortunately. And it's just the love of it, really, is what we do. And we have a very strong branch in Kildare, I would say. We have 400 members in the Kildare branch, and we have a talk and an outing every month. The talk is the second Thursday of the month in the Townhouse Hotel in Naas at 8 o'clock, and the outings are generally the following Saturday, but you'd find all that on our website is birdwatchkildare.com, and we're also on Facebook. BWI Kildare is on Facebook. But we cater for everyone. We cater for young, old, beginners, experienced. We have our own scope and binoculars that we bring along that people can use if they don't have their own. We also go on the outings. Say, for instance, next month we're going down to Clare. We're carpooling from Naas to go down to Clare to Ennis and then on to the Cliffs of Moher to see puffins and breeding seabirds that we obviously don't have in Kildare, you know. Last year we went to see the white-tailed eagles in Galway. We went up to Belfast on a bus out and we got to Tecumseh in Wexford. You know, we get all around. But generally in the summertime we stay local for our own breeding birds.
That's brilliant. It sounds like great fun.
Oh, it is, yeah, it is, yeah. And you're meeting new people the whole time, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
But we do other... Like, in the talks itself now, it's not at all on birds. We'll talk... Like, next month's talk is about the new butterfly atlas. So, and then we'll be back to birds then in July. It's a great spotted woodpecker, I think, in July. The group is constantly adding new people to it.
Each May, Birdwatch Ireland run dawn chorus walks around the county so that we can experience that early morning bird song when it's at its loudest and most impressive. Of course, this is the time of year when males are establishing territories and trying to impress the females. So what we hear as pretty birdsong is actually a fierce battle to survive and reproduce.
There's a few people just arrived over, so we'll just wait for a second.
Okay, if we can stop here for a second now, we've probably got our most favourite bird here. Everybody knows this bird, yeah?
Robin
Redbreast, yeah, yeah.
Very, very intelligent.
It's also unusual that in the winter the female also holds territory, so the female sings. So you cannot tell the difference between male and female in the winter. And they will fight to the death over territory.
Over to my left over here, we can hear a blackbird calling. If you live in an estate in particular, you'll find that the blackbird is probably the first bird that will call. They'd be up on the roof, calling from the rooftops, and the first bird you hear in the morning time and probably the last bird you hear at evening time. That's a dunnock that is calling in the background over here. There's a pheasant in the background as well.
My name's Pauline, I'm from Newcastle. And why did you get up early this morning?
I got up to listen to the birds. I'm very interested in the birds, I'm very interested in their song, and I also love the light, the early morning light, and it's amazing to come along. It's well worth it to get out of bed. Anybody that's considering it should get out of bed and come along, because it's just amazing, and there's so much to learn, so much to see, so much to hear.
When I got up this morning, I felt like I was going on my holidays, not coming out to look at birds.
Right. What time did you set the alarm for?
4:15.
And would you do it again?
Ah, yeah, I've done it before, do it again, yeah. My name is Catherine, from Enfield.
Oh, I love it. I came here last year and I saw birds, you know, that were in front of my eyes all the time, and I just never ever saw them before. And yeah, I love it, and it's a fantastic morning here. Sun's coming up, bright blue sky. It's going to be beautiful. It's lovely.
I'm Evelyn Murphy from Dublin.
And what brought you here today?
Interest in learning more about the birds of Ireland.
And what time did you set the alarm clock for?
3:00.
And was it worth it?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. Well, a bit cold, but definitely worth it.
I think I counted over 80 people who came here at 4 a.m. just to listen to birds. But of course, Birdwatch don't simply want to count birds or admire their song. They also have some very important conservation projects underway in the county. During our walk on Moods Bog, Paddy told me more about some of these.
We have a number of projects going on, conservation projects, I should say. One of them being the Barn Owl project. We also have a Kestrel Box project, Nest Box project, and we have a couple of uptakes on that already. We had this winter, we started a Dipper Nest Box project on bridges on rivers. We put up 33 Dipper boxes, and straight away, that was instant, more than half of those have been taken up, and they were actually colour ringing them and ringing the chicks as well. There's our second cuckoo now there, Juanita, and the reason that the cuckoo is still here is because the host species, the likes of meadow pipits, breed in abundance on the bog. So they'll go in and they'll lay their egg in one of the nests. Whereas in general farmland, where we used to always have cuckoo, because it's gone so intensive, there are no meadow pipits nesting, so there's no host species for the cuckoo.
So the meadow pipit is one of the nests?
Yeah, one of the host species is meadow pipit. And Dunnock, and there's a few other species that on the bogs here that they will use as a host nest. And the amazing thing, I think, really about the cuckoo is it can lay the eggs to the exact same colour as the host species. And then as the season goes on, to see this monster of a thing chasing two meadow pipits, begging for food, and then to somehow, at the end of all of that, realise that I have to go to Africa.
Yeah. It's impossible to understand.
Oh, it's amazing. I could never get my head around that at all.
Yeah. But and to not make the sound of the parents, so that they're not making the calls of a meadow pipit, they're making the calls of a cuckoo.
Cuckoo, exactly.
And they know I'm actually a cuckoo.
Exactly.
And I'm going to go to Africa.
For some reason, it's just one of the quirks of the natural world, really, you know?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
There he is again. But people think that the cuckoo are gone from Kildare. They're far from gone.
Yeah, that's great.
You're up at this hour of the morning or late in the evening, especially, you really hear them at this time of the year.
Okay. Yeah, you dragged us out at 6 o'clock, Paddy.
We did, yeah.
Well, it was worth it to hear that.
We could have been here earlier, though.
Yeah. So, Paddy, yourself, how did you get interested in birds or nature?
Well, I think we always had, as a family, when we were younger, our father used to feed. I remember feeding hedgehogs and stuff like that coming up to the back door. It kind of took off from that, you know?
Yeah.
And then as I discovered football and drink and things like that, yeah, and females, it kind of went away for a while. But then it came back to me. And I have a love of it, really. You know, I always had.
Yeah.
Love of the natural world. And not lone birds, butterflies, mammals, everything. I love being out in the natural world. I love being out in the morning like this. I think there's nothing nicer than this first thing in the morning. If you walked out there now, Juanita, you'd be walking over meadow pipit nests. You'd want to be dodging them, like, you know, but they'll let you know where they are, you know. And when I was younger, that's the way it used to be. I live near Kilcock, and at the back of the fields it used to be full of skylark and meadow pipit. That's all gone now.
I know. I recently spent a week in Donegal, and it was like you were sick as a skylark by the end of it. They
exactly.
were around this cottage in the middle. Now it's in the middle of nowhere. They were around all the time, and it makes you realise that that's what we should be hearing all the time in Kildare as well, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, whether the new GLOS schemes work, hard to know. Jury's out on that one yet. It's early days, but I'd love to wake up in the mornings again at home and listen to skylark first thing.
Absolutely.
Can you see him anywhere, Juanita?
It's up too high, I think, Paddy.
Yeah, I can't see. I need the binoculars, I think, to see him at this stage. But they say about the skylark that when he is up so high singing, if a sparrowhawk comes along or a merlin and starts chasing him, that he'll go higher and he'll keep singing. And he's basically saying to the merlin or the sparrowhawk, that, look, I'm that great that I can keep singing and you still can't catch me. So hopefully he'll give up.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
But I can't see him there now. He's there somewhere. And as you can see, like, there's meadow pipits all over the place here as well.
Yeah.
But they're lost, really, from the general countryside now. In Kildare they are, anyway.
So it really makes the bogs very important.
Oh, it does. As you can see, when we were just walking up onto the bog here, we saw a hare going across.
Yeah.
Not too many hares in the general countryside either, like, you know?
No.
So we do have, a lot of things singing at the moment there. Oh! There's a curlew. Do you hear the curlew? One of the last of them, unfortunately, Juanita.
It's a beautiful call.
Yeah. But she's obviously sitting on eggs there now. brilliant to hear that, isn't it?
Yeah.
After listening to warblers and spotting redpolls, snipe and other birds on Mood's Bog, we got back into Paddy's car and drove on to the centre of Newbridge. So, Paddy, we're in Newbridge now. You've brought me to the Holy Family Convent beside the church here in Newbridge. And what have we here?
We have a fairly big colony of swift. Now, swift, to me, is the most amazing bird we have in Ireland. They summer here for only 3 months of the year. A lot of people confuse them with swallows and house martins, which are here for probably 6 months. But the poor swift only comes from early May to mid-August and has one brood of 2 to 3 chicks. Now, he's amazing in the sense that he winters as far south as Mozambique in southern Africa, South Africa, down that direction. But the best thing I think about him is he does everything on the wing. He does not land. He won't see him perched in wires or trees or poles or anything like that. He eats, he sleeps, he mates. Everything is done on the wing. He collects the nest material, feathers, bits of grass, all caught in the air. They mate in the air. Everything's done in the air. So in that sense, he's truly amazing.
I think it's amazing that the chicks would basically, once they take flight from the nest, that they'll fly for 3 years.
3 years, yeah. Yeah, he won't get an inkling for about 3 years. But in the third season, when they come back, they get an inkling that they have to breed.
And that'll be the first time that they land.
They'll attempt to land, yeah. But when he hits that wall, he hits it at 40 miles an hour and then has to come to a sudden stop just to get into that little entrance. And generally, the entrance is just under the eaves of old buildings. Old buildings are the ones they prefer because there is naturally old holes in the buildings. Whereas modern new houses are all done up with PVC and they're all airtight, so there's no actual nest sites at all for them. But the biggest problem we have with swift in Ireland and Kildare is that as buildings are being regenerated, nest sites are being lost. It's fine and well if you knock down a house martin nest, they'll go and they'll build somewhere else. But the poor swift, he's a bit like the curlew in a way. He cannot adapt. He goes to the same nest site year upon year. So a swift born here in Newbridge will come back to the same nest site every year, but it's all old buildings that they're nesting on. Anything pre-1970. But the problem, as I was saying, is when these nest sites are blocked up, the sad, really sad part about it is for that bird, say, at 4 years of age breeding in the site, can live to maybe mid-20s. So for the next 15 to 20 years, it's going to come back to the same spot year upon year, banging at that hole that is now blocked up. That's the saddest part. They've declined by 50% in Ireland in 20 years, which is alarming, really, you know? So we have undertaken a big, ambitious project, the Swift Nest Box project, in the towns now. We've something like 25 towns in Kildare that have swift. And straight away, we identified 12 of them that needed immediate action. So the likes of Monasterevin, Ratangan. Ratangan is a prime example. Ratangan has something like 25 adult swift on the 2-year survey that we've done. But yeah, we only found 3 nest sites.
Right.
Some people will often ring us and say, oh, well, we have swifts, but they're probably more than likely, a lot of the time, we're getting swallows and house martins. So just the swallow goes into the barn or outbuilding. The house martin is always outside, mostly on apexes. But the swift actually goes in under the eave into the building itself. And he's a lot bigger. The swift is a lot bigger and he's more like boomeranged wings. Mm. And he screeches. You'll see them screeching. Now, a tie would be our stronghold for swift still.
What is it about the tie?
Well,
are they older buildings?
Older buildings, it's maybe the Celtic Tiger didn't hit a tie so much.
So there was less renovations.
Less renovations done, maybe, yeah. And there's still well over 200 adult swift in a tie. It's one of the top towns in the country per swift, whereas here in Newbridge, I'd say there's probably about 40 swift, Naas, 40, 45 swift. The smaller towns like Ratangan, Kildare Town, 20, 25 swift. I remember in Kilcock, 20 years ago, there could have been 30, 40 swift. Now there's 8. You know, so there is major declines. Another thing we would be worried about, say, in some of the towns, all the colonies are on the one building. So, say, NUIM, Maynooth, the paint factory in Selbridge are the only colonies in those two towns. So if either of those buildings were to be done up, that's it, the colonies are gone. Now, a lot of people are oblivious, obviously, when they're doing up the houses. Like, for instance, there's one church in a town in the county where a new priest came in and straight away he re-roofed the church. And straight away, all the nest sites were lost.
Yeah.
And it was the only place in this town. And now what you see when you go to this town is about 10 swift. We can actually hear them there now. 10 swift flying around this church with nowhere to go.
That is so sad.
Yeah, it's
after
very,
flying
very
the
sad.
Whole way from Africa.
Africa, yeah.
To be
yeah.
homeless. Yeah.
To be homeless, yeah. And we actually saw one crawling along a gutter with its using its wing to see could it find a hole. It was tragic looking at it, you know. So we have boxes up starting this season. We have boxes up, and we also have a call system in place to lure them in. They're colonial nesters, and we're trying to give them a false sense of security that there's already swift here. It kind of speeds up the process, but it could take anything up to 3 years to get the birds in. It's very slow,
yeah.
the uptake, you know. So we're doing our best. That's all.
So to put a nest box on buildings like that that were blocked up would be the ideal solution?
It would be, yeah. Yeah. To bring them back to where they were, yeah.
Yeah.
Or as close as possible.
Yeah.
Now, what we're doing is there's no point in us putting up boxes on private houses, because as someone dies or moves out of the house, someone else moves in, might not want the box there, so you're back to square one again. So we're really putting them up in public places. We're putting them up in schools mostly. And we're also getting assistance from Tidy Towns in funding as well. So between the three, it is working. It's good cooperation so far.
That's brilliant. And brilliant for kids to be able to see them coming
back each
year.
Well, that's it too. It's educational as well. We've got a clause into the latest Kildare County Development Plan. Its title is GI25. And that states that we can trigger a clause in that at planning stage, if there's a new school being built or public building, that we can get actually swift bricks built into this new building.
I've seen those.
And
they're brilliant.
Yeah.
That they're there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we haven't had any up in Kildare yet. It's only gone through. But we already have identified two possible sites that we have made the recommendation to the council in the planning stage. So we'll see what comes of it. But
yeah.
All those nest sites on all the old housing estates in all our towns, they're all going to be lost eventually. So the way forward, in 100 years' time, where will the swift nest sites be in Kildare? Probably on schools, public buildings.
Yeah.
That's the only place you're going to find swift nests.
So if there's any teachers listening or public servants, could they get in touch with the branch?
They can indeed, yes. Yes, that's we're more than happy to work with anyone. It's certainly the way forward, because they are you can see them yourself lying around there. They're amazing work.
They're beautiful, yeah.
So if you want to learn more about birds in Kildare or attend any of their events, check out the Facebook page BWI Kildare or email birdwatchkildare@gmail.com.
Kildare Biodiversity Week, in association with Kildare County Council Heritage Department. For the full range of biodiversity activities, visit www.kildarecoco.ie.
Yeah, really enjoyed that piece, I have to say, and I know you did as well, because loads of messages coming in. Ben was in touch with us also, Jack, Pauline, Caroline, Paddy, loads more coming in on the text machine, just to say what a fantastic piece that was. Paddy Sheridan, who passed away unfortunately a couple of years ago, but he was a founding member of Wild Kildare. He did some fantastic work for biodiversity, not only for birds here in the county, but biodiversity as a whole, and very fitting as well to include his piece with Juanita Brown on our Biodiversity Week documentaries this week. And tomorrow we have our final one, which is with Anna Collins from the Kildare Bat Group, and looking forward to that as well. And thanks as always to Kildare County Council and to Juanita Brown from Crossing the Line Films. Coming up after the break, we're going to tell you all about the father and daughter from Carbery who will be representing Ireland at the Foot Golf World Cup and then have to rush home in time for the leaving cert.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
Okay, you are welcome back. Now, Joe Donoghue and his daughter Katie Donoghue are about to embark on an incredible journey as they represent Ireland at the highly anticipated Foot Golf World Cup. They're going to fly out to Orlando tomorrow, and then they have to compete in the World Cup and then rush back in order for Katie, who's a student out in Oaklands College in Edenderry, to complete the Leaving Cert. Delighted to say that both Joe and Katie are with us on the line now. Joe, we might start off with you and just bring us up to date on foot golf. I was speaking to Keith Walsh on Kildare Focus a couple of weeks ago about the whole kind of phenomenon of the sport and how it's grown over the last number of years, particularly up in Highfield, where you're located around Carberry.
Hi Owen, thanks for having us on. Yeah, we're based in Foot Golf Kildare. That's where Keith plays most of his foot golf. So, yeah, foot golf. It's a growing sport. Not many people know about it, but anyone can play it. All you need is a size 5 football, and you know, any ages from the young 3-4 up to senior. You know, any ability.
Yeah. So he described it to me kind of like pitch and putt with your foot, and you know, that's kind of the aim of the game. It's golf or pitch and putt with the foot. You have to kick the ball into the hole. Is that it?
That's it, yeah. You have to kick it into the hole in the least amount of shots. Like, you have, it's the same, you have par 3s, 4s and 5s, but it's not as long as a golf. It's only half the length of a golf course, or even less again, you know.
Mm. Okay.
And the hole is 43 centimetres in diameter, and it's only as deep as a ball, you know, so it's not too big.
Okay, how did the whole World Cup thing come about then, and how is it that yourself and Katie will be travelling over to represent Ireland?
Well, this is the fourth actual World Cup that's ever been played, you know. So me and Katie had to qualify last year. Like, we're members of Foot Golf Association of Ireland, and we had to qualify last year to get on the team to go to Orlando this year, you know, so it's... It was hard to get onto the team. Like, everybody's fighting tooth and nail to get on. You know, everybody wants to go.
Okay, Katie is with us as well on the other line. So, Joe, just hang on there for a moment. Katie, good morning to you.
Morning.
So, you're part of this team as well. How long have you been playing foot golf?
Well, I only started there, I think it was last March. Last March was my first ever competition I played. It was in the Four Nations against England, Scotland and Wales.
Right, well, it's not bad if you only started last year and you're already going over to represent Ireland in the World Cup in Florida. But
yeah,
as I mentioned from the start, it's going to be quite a busy couple of weeks because you have to go over there and then come back for the Leaving Cert. So how long are you going to be over in Florida?
Around 2 weeks we'll be over there. We're coming back on the 7th of June. We're flying out there Friday.
Right, you're coming back on the 7th of June. When's your first exam?
9:30 on the 7th of June, and we'll be landing in Dublin at 9:30.
So what way is that going to work then?
Well, we've heard from the president of Foot Golf Association, the Department of Education, contacted him, and so far we know that it's not 100% now, but someone from the Department of Education will pick me up from the airport and bring me to the nearest school and put me in a room with them, and I'll do my English Paper 1 and Home Ec then. During my two exams and in that school. Well, that's what it's looking like, but it's not 100% yet.
How do you feel about that? And, I remember when I was doing the Leaving Cert, I was quite stressed coming up to it, you know, in the couple of weeks beforehand. I wouldn't have played a foot golf tournament in Orlando. So are you going to be bringing books with you, or what way does it work?
So I've all my studies on my phone, say on Teams or Office 365. I have them all on my phone. So I'd be mostly studying from my phone for the few weeks that I'm over there, like, so first nervous now.
Right, Joe, just to bring you back in here, and not as a foot golf player, but as a dad, you're going to have to make sure that the studies are done as well as the foot golf.
I know, it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be crazy. but this is what she wants to do, you know. We weren't going to go to the World Cup, but then she said, have to go fund me page, and then she had it over €1,000 a minute, so we said we can't give back the money, so we're going to have to go.
Right.
So since that, she's been studying and, you know, she's putting the work in. So fingers crossed, everything will go well.
Right, very good, very good. So what way does the World Cup actually work then in terms of matches, or, you know, just talk us through then what the tournament's going to look like?
Well, we have single competitions, and then we have a team event, you know, like there's four ladies going over and they have four individual matches over a few days and then they have a team event as well. And the same, I'm in the seniors category, so we have the same, we have singles and we have team event. And then the men, anyone over 18 up to 44, they have their own individual team event as well. So it's going to be hectic. We have five courses to practice. So we've a practice day Saturday and Sunday, and the first singles event starts Monday.
Right.
So we've a lot of work ahead of us.
How many are heading over from Ireland?
It'll be 27 of us. From all over Ireland.
Very good, very good. So I'm imagining there's going to be a little bit of a party as well, or a little bit of a party atmosphere, which, Katie, you can't get too involved in if you're studying for the Leaving Cert as well.
Yeah, no, I can't, no.
So, that sounds fascinating. And Joe, just tell us a bit more about then Highfield. I was up there once, played foot golf, and I think it's great. Not even, you know, if you don't want to do it competitively, but just as a pastime, it's a great way of getting out. You don't have to be a big football fan either.
No, because, like, my wife's always giving out. When I finish work, I'm still over there, you know. it's hard to get out of the test. But, I really enjoy foot golf. It's just, it gets you out into the fresh air And Foot Golf Kildare, it'll be the best course in Ireland. Like it's we use golf machinery, so we have the greens. The course is really fast, you know. We've lakes, we've hills and hollows. You were there yourself.
Yeah, and, it's lovely.
It is lovely, and on a sunny day like today, you don't want to be anywhere else, you know. And then when you finish a round of foot golf, the fresh pizza's there as well. Pizza's on a pizza oven, and they'll do anything you want there, you know. So it's hard to get out of there.
Lovely stuff. Is your wife going over as well, Joe?
She is, my wife Joey and my son Jake, they're heading over as well, yeah. So on our days off, we're going to have to try and squeeze in a bit of Disney World and that, you know. So it's going to be hectic.
Absolutely, it sounds great.
While Katie's studying.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, while Katie is studying. Yeah, don't forget that. And I was thinking as well, the fact that your wife is going over, will she be able to keep an eye on both of you?
We'll have to do, we'll take turns.
Yeah. Katie, before I let you go, what would you like to do after the Leaving Cert? What's the plan?
Well, I'm not too sure now, but I've applied for a PLC and I got accepted there Tuesday. So it's just in hospitality, just to do something this year instead of working for the whole year, just, you know.
Katie does work in Foot Golf Kildare on her days off on Saturdays. She works in reception and does the bar work as well, so she's a good worker.
Great stuff. Well, listen, best of luck on two counts. Best of luck in the Foot Golf World Cup over in Orlando. You're flying out tomorrow. And Katie, best of luck in the Leaving Cert as well when
you
come back. And make sure that you get some studying done as well as, of course, going out and enjoying yourself and going to Disneyland as well. It's great stuff. Fantastic story.
As well, Owen, you can watch this. This has all been televised over there on a CTV Sports app.
Right.
So it'll be all live stream, so you can watch all the progress over there on that.
Yeah, I see there's a website there, www.orlando2023.com. So if you want to go on there, you can find out more information, or on the Highfield website.
Yeah, there'll be more information on Foot Golf Association of Ireland Facebook page as well there. So.
Super
there's
stuff.
No excuse.
Absolutely. Listen, we wish you and the whole team heading over there the very best of luck in Orlando, the Foot Golf World Cup. They're flying out tomorrow morning. That is Joe and Katie Donoghue, father and daughter from Carbery. I think that's brilliant. Katie's a student out in Oaklands in Eden Derry, but so relaxed, so chilled. If I could be like that, you know, going back, what is it, 7 or 8 years now, when I did the Leaving Cert, more, maybe 9 years ago, I wasn't that relaxed. But I think it's great. And being picked up in the airport, so they're going to be flying back from Orlando to Dublin on the 7th of June, which is the day that the Leaving Cert starts. They land in Dublin at 9:30. The first exam is at 9:30. Katie's going to get picked up from somebody from the Department of Education, driven to the nearest school, and go in and sit English Paper 1 and the Home Economics paper as well. Listen, we're looking forward to keeping an eye on how they get on over the course of the next few weeks in that World Cup. But thanks to Joe and Katie for joining us. After the break, we're going to turn our attentions to Gaelic Games and the Kildare minor footballers booking their place in the Leinster final.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof and the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Well, the Kildare minor footballers are through to the Leinster final after beating Meath last night. A late point from Alan Wood's Joey Cunningham sealed the win with the final scoreline in Hawkfield. Kildare 13 points, Meath 12. Kildare will play Dublin in the final after they beat Offaly 6-15 to 1-8. And that final has been confirmed for next Wednesday night in O'More Park in Portlaoise at 7:30. Let's hear from the Kildare minor football manager, Niall Cronin, speaking after that win last night.
Relieved now, as much as Ed and Seamus. It was semi-finals are what they are, you know. It's a different kettle of fish, and you know, we've had a month off, which, you know, it's what you set out to have at the start of the competition. You know, you want to top your group, but you know, it does come with challenges. So it's been a long month waiting for it. Meath came in with a lot of momentum on the basis of not just having the game last week, but how they won it. And they really bounced in after a brilliant second half last week. So, look, it's Meath at any level. You know what you're going to get. And they certainly brought it to us tonight. And our lads had to dig deep and had to be tough. And thankfully, we were able to see it out.
Goal chances in the first half, probably down to the month layoff.
Yeah, look, we probably left a couple behind us, but we were under a lot of pressure as well. You know, like, they are a massive team, and that was the one thing we knew coming in here, that they had a lot of physicality, they had a lot of size down the middle, and then they had, out wide, they had a lot of good, classy footballers, as you'd expect from any Meath team. They had the perfect balance. So, like, we knew we were going to be feeding off scraps, and look, it was good to create the chances, but no, certainly at half time, we wouldn't have been happy with the stats. And I think, you know, we left plenty out there, goals and points, to be honest. So that was something we had to address. But these guys, as I said it before, these guys are like sponges. You know, they take it all on board. And, you know, we just had to fix a few things at half time. And you know, they did. They started very well. And then Meath obviously came at us again, and we had to kind of change tack and just be smart about seeing it out, and thankfully we were able to get over the line.
Yeah, and bearing in mind the weak start that Meath had to the second half last week, obviously you were conscious of that. It's important to have a positive start.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, we were conscious of what they were capable of, but we were also conscious of what we had to do ourselves. And right at the end there, you saw, you know, some desperate defending, but desperate in a good way of how lads were putting bodies on the line and you know, making sure that there was no silly scores being conceded. Like you know, like, the team Meath had to work for plenty of their scores as well, and you know, maybe we saw the signs of the month off there in the last 10 minutes, to be honest. We were maybe just a small bit rusty, so look, it's great to get over the line, but you know, we'll enjoy it for another few minutes and then we start thinking about next week.
You opened 4-point lead there in the second half, Niall. You know, that was really the foundation of it, wasn't it? I mean, Meath, you'd always expect Meath to come back at you, but you had enough of the tank to hold them out.
Yeah, and it's lucky we did, because, you know, we needed it at the end. But we created a lot of chances throughout the game. And we were more efficient, definitely, in that middle period when we got that 4 points. Maybe forced a couple in after that. But lads were getting tired, you know. Like, I think, you know, we probably, you know, lads were doing so well, but they were tiring as well. So it was probably, you know, hard to make the right changes. But it was the lads that came on and had a massive impact. And I suppose the lads that came on were very much minded in the job they had to do to help us see it out then. And they were the finishers we brought on. And as you say, Tommy, that 4 point advantage, you know, came at the right time for us. And thankfully, we were able to see it out.
Dublin had a big win tonight as well.
Yeah, I didn't hear the one. I didn't hear anything about it. Look, they've looked exceptional all year, and anything we've seen of them, they've looked very, very good, and again, very, very powerful. You know, that'll be a good insight for us tonight, because like Meath, there are a lot of big lads around the middle, as you'd expect again from any Dublin team, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about them this year in kind of other counties that have played them in challenge matches and stuff like that. So they're a very talented side, and look, we'll have to prepare as best we can for them in the short window. We've gone from having a month off to having a week off, so we have to get that right now, and a few sore bodies there, and you know, we have to try and get it right. So
Yeah, that's the Kildare minor football manager Niall Cronin speaking after their semi-final win against Meath last night. And again, a reminder that final will be played next Wednesday at 7:30 in O'More Park in Portlaoise.